Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 212 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacket. Thanks for joining me again. Today on the show, we've got an update on the CCFR's case at the Supreme Court of Canada. The CCFR held its 2026 in-person AGM in Mississauga, Ontario, over the last weekend. We had some surprising guests. We had a lot of great talks with other guests. And I want to share what was a little bit different about this AGM than what you would have found anywhere else. National Range Day is coming up, and there are 38 events happening across the country. You'll find the CCFR at a range of different events across the country in the coming weeks. Anyway, all that and more, CCFR Radio starts right now. Thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. In Canada, firearm owners understand the importance of safe, effective self-defense options. That's why we're proud to have Byrna as a sponsor. Byrna's less lethal launchers are designed to help protect you and your family without taking a life. Byrna offers peace of mind and a practical layer of personal security for Canadians who value safety. Learn more at byrna.ca/CCFR. That's byrna.ca/CCFR. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR radio podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. All right, we are back. Now, I've got an update on our Supreme Court case. Some of these dates you already have. I think I mentioned them, I don't know, a couple of episodes ago. But I'm just going to read you what I read at our annual general meeting. Pardon my voice, guys. My voice is blown out. It's had enough. I need a little bit of rest. But it's TV and podcast week. And once that's done, then I'll be able to rest a little bit. So here's what I read out, and this came from Mike Loberg, our general counsel here at the CCFR. This is what I read out at the AGM. The CCFR's factum and joint record must be filed with the Supreme Court of Canada by June the 15th. Those seeking to intervene in the appeals must file their motions requesting leave within 4 weeks of June 15th, that is, by August 13th. So far, the Royal Canadian Military Institute Pistol Club, that's a long name, man, has applied for leave to intervene. Saskatchewan and Alberta are interveners as of right in the appeal. Saskatchewan, Alberta, and now Ontario are intervening on the CCFR's constitutional questions. So the provinces of Saskatchewan, Alberta, and now recently Ontario have lined up behind the CCFR to oppose the federal government and all of this. And I think that's just great. And remember, right, we said this before, sorry to digress, but we said this before, never in Canadian history have we seen such a huge rejection of a government policy by law enforcement across the country, provinces, territories. Just, it's really, really incredible. Canada must file its responding materials, that's the government, by September the 10th. If Canada seeks to uphold the Federal Court of Appeals judgment on a ground not mentioned by that court, the appellants can file a factum in reply by around September the 24th. I don't know what any of that means. Available hearing dates depend on factors such as the court's calendar, case complexity, the number of interveners, and the backlog for a given term. At present, the hearing is estimated to occur between January and March 2027. The CCFR will have a filed copy of its factum available by June 15th or soon thereafter. Also, the court will publish a copy on its website, accessible by searching the file number 41859. 41859. So go to the Supreme Court of Canada website, search by file number, throw that number in there, and you'll find it sometime after June 15th. So what's important to all of us is, it's estimated that the hearing may occur between January and March 2027. That's long after the amnesty is over. I've already instructed our general counsel, in turn, Loberg Echter, to file a request to the Supreme Court to have the amnesty extended. So the actual mechanism, I can't tell you about that. I'm not a lawyer, but we called it an injunction application back in the original case. I think it's called something different. I've mentioned this before in the Supreme Court. So anyway, whatever that process is, I've already instructed our general counsel to seek an extension to the amnesty one way or another. I will let you know as soon as we know something about that. But I would like to think, and I've been wrong before on this, that the government looks at who these people are, meaning the people bringing the application. They're all the productive citizens of Canada, the taxpaying, hardworking, law-abiding, vetted people of Canada, right? That's who gun owners are. And they need help from the court. They need this amnesty pushback because this case is going to be precedent setting one way or the other. And it is extremely important. And the consequences are huge to that amnesty running out before this decision is made. So anyway, hopefully the government will start acting like it should, which is on behalf of the productive good citizens of Canada, not fighting against the productive good citizens of Canada, which it has done for years, right? So I'm hoping maybe they'll be like, you know what? We waited six and a half years. I think we can wait another couple of months. So anyway, I guess we'll see, won't we? So that's that. One of the other things I just wanted to bring up really quick is, I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was this, there's this network called TVO, and I think it's TV Ontario. It's like a public broadcasting, like PBS kind of thing in Ontario, paid for by the taxpayer. And TVO had this the special, and I think it was called Canada's Undeclared Firearms, if memory serves me correctly. So there, a big overarching question in this show was why is the buyback failing so spectacularly? You know, why are gun owners not participating? Like, you know, their guns are going to become illegal. The government's offering money or whatever, right? We know the details of this. You know, why aren't they participating? And who did they ask the gun lobby, Canada's gun lobby, to go explain this? We represent probably 150,000 gun owners directly, right? This is like biggest, you know, the biggest unions in the country are around those numbers, right? So would they call us and say, hey, can you tell us why your members are not, why your supporters are not participating, why gun owners are rejecting this? Nope. We never got a call. Who did they get on there to speak for gun owners? Wendy Sukier of the Coalition for Gun Control and a police chief somewhere in Ontario who was extremely careful, walked the tightrope the whole time. So you really didn't get any, you know, definite answers one way or the other. So I will tell you, I've been dealing with the legacy media in Canada for over 10 years. And do they spread disinformation, like intentional, inaccurate information, like in other words, well, what some people would call lies? Yeah, they do. But they don't do it very often. They do spread some misinformation. But what they do intentionally, more often than anything, is they omit information. They deplatform people. They don't offer them a platform. They don't bring the right people on. They ignore things completely. So in this case, what they'll do is they're like, oh, gun owners have a problem. Let's ask the gun control people, the anti-gun people.
I want to get a better understanding of sort of perhaps maybe the failure of this buyback program in terms of the numbers that the government's expecting. Chief, help me understand, what are some likely reasons someone wouldn't report a prohibited firearm now? But are we talking, is it passive non-compliance? Is it confusion over, you know, where it falls under? Or is this perhaps a deliberate resistance?
I think the safe answer is probably to say a little bit of all three of what you are outlined or articulated there. You know, certainly as chiefs, you know, we were first introduced to the concept of the buyback just over a year ago when we met first with the federal public safety minister, who really outlined the program, how it was going to work. So I think that they have tried to certainly message and inform those who are gun owners as to how the program is going to work. You know, there's compensation that is sort of obviously aligned to the program. I think for some gun owners, those who chose not to participate perhaps didn't like the value that they were potentially getting for their firearm. Some, I think, were just never going to participate. And some, I think, just have a political position that they feel that this law is not applicable or shouldn't be put into to law. And I think have just a position that this is something that the government is overstepping in relation to that.
It's important to understand that the buyback was intended to be an incentive to sort of sweeten the pot mm-hmm. for gun owners. And if they choose not to participate, that's their choice.
What the gun owners are thinking, and a police chief from Ontario, right? And then when people complain, they go, oh, well, we already covered it. We already had this conversation with our audience. Yeah, no, we don't need any other, you know, we've already covered that. So we're not going to bring on anybody else, but we'll see. I've reached out to TVO to see if they really want to dig in and find out why this is one, the buyback, the prohibitions and the confiscation program that the government is calling the buyback program, why it's been rejected by police, law enforcement across the country, by provinces and all the territories, and then by 2.4 million licensed gun owners, to the point where they're only getting a few tens of thousands of guns when there are millions of these guns in circulation. They should be curious about that. Anyway, I've said this too many times, so I'm not going to go on and on about it, but it's interesting, isn't it? You know, so we'll see. We'll see if TVO is interested in the truth and accuracy and things like that, because we're always here ready to have a mature, honest, even-keeled, polite conversation about this topic, because it's really important to all Canadians, no matter whether you own guns or not. All right, that's all I got for you now. Let's bring Tracy on. All right, we're back, and via the internet, we've got Tracy Wilson of the CCR. Wilson!
Is your voice a little tired?
Yeah, it is a little tired. Yeah. So I guess if we're going to dive right in, we might as well start talking about this. The reason okay. I'm tired, I don't know if you're tired, I would think that you are, is we had our in-person AGM this past weekend. And then as soon as I got home, I had a travel nightmare. But as soon as I got home, boom, TV and podcast week again.
Yeah, so, I know. Yeah, well, I know. I was hoping to, you know, take it easy for a couple of days and get some rest. And I've been running around like a maniac too. I was at the House of Commons this morning, did an interview with Brian Lilly. Now we're recording. It's like 32 degrees outside. Whatever. This is just how it is. Keep going.
It is how it is.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. Did I tell you about my travel nightmare?
I heard some bits and pieces about it in our staff chat. But yeah, I think you were delayed like almost half a day. Really?
Yeah. To get from... We showed up at YYZ in Toronto at 2 Eastern time, and I got home at 5 in the morning Eastern time. It was a 15-hour travel day to get from Toronto to Vancouver.
Oh, traveling in Canada is just so great.
Yeah, it was
so good.
It was a disaster. So, and I'm getting too old for that crap.
I agree. Yeah, I hate the travel now too. It's not the events. The events are awesome. The people are great. It's getting there that sucks. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Well, let's get started because we got some things to talk about. We were at our annual general meeting, and it was pretty cool. It was an actual in-person one this year as opposed to what we had to do last year.
Yeah, you know, over the last 10 years, we've struggled between, you know, COVID shutting everything down. Last year, you know, we were kind of mourning after the election and just decided to cancel the AGM and focus on Plan B. But this year, you know, things are a little different. We decided to have it in person. We had it in Toronto, not because that's where we wanted to go, but because it was sort of like the geographical center, the biggest airport in the country, easiest to get to. We had a lot of cool people come. And, you know, it always takes me back to that very first in-person AGM that we had in Ottawa. And something that somebody said to me, they said, it's like all your imaginary friends are real. You know, everybody that you've been talking to online and dealing with in groups and whatever, you're now just sitting there talking to each other in real life. And I don't know, the magic never really wears off for me on that. I love it.
Yeah, we had all the employees there as well, which is great. Including Brandon and Silas from Canada's East Coast, our social media team. So it was great that they made it all the way out too. So It was really great.
Yeah. Yeah. That was wonderful. It's pretty special to be able to see each other in person when we're spread out all across the country and we mostly just meet virtually. Right. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So we wanted to talk about a few things. And I think the first thing that we have on the list is wanted to talk about the business meeting. And there was a couple of things and what happened right after the business meeting. But I did want to draw attention to a couple of things. So if you've never been to a CCFR AGM before and you haven't been to the business meeting, it is it's the part of the annual general meeting that is a requirement of the Corporations Act. And mm-hmm. so you have to have one of these every year and you deal with things, changes to your bylaws or whatever, like you vote on things and you present the financials and whatnot. And what I wanted to draw attention to is that we streamed it as we've been doing since the very first AGM. It's gotten far less expensive because back, if you remember, at our first AGM, it was like $4,500 to stream our AGM. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we had some kind of crazy machine we needed. And the online tools definitely make it easier now. And it's important to us because you should be able to attend no matter where you are geographically. And it should be free for all members. It has to be, right? So it was important.
We've continued to do that. And so I think a couple of things I want to mention. The first was during the business meeting, we had our financials available. Mm-hmm. And something that we do that seems to be unique with many not-for-profits out there or groups, whether they're gun groups or anything like that, you're supposed to provide your members with the financials of the corporation. Many don't provide financials at all. Mm-hmm. Some have all these crazy restrictions, like you sign NDAs and you can't take a physical copy and you can only look at it. And some just flat out just won't give them to you. Well, at this AGM, we thought the most efficient way to do it was to provide a beautiful bound copy, put it on the table. Anyone in the room can roll up. I told everybody that was in the room, go ahead and look at the financials. If you want to take pictures of it, go ahead and do that. And if you want to write your email address down and you want a PDF copy, we'll email that to you as soon as we get back as well. So the most important thing is we have a physical copy of our financial report on that back table. Everyone is welcome to go have a look at the whole thing that came from the accountants, the auditors. You can take pictures of it if you want. There should be a piece of paper there too. I don't know if we put a piece of paper there.
I will go and do that.
Okay. You don't have to do it right now.
Okay. I'll do it after the meeting.
Okay. Do that.
Okay.
A little side discussion we're having. So anyway, we're going to put a piece of paper there. If you want a PDF copy, we can email it to you. So just put your name and your email down and we'll get that to you. I was really, really proud of that. And then after the business meeting, we had our traditional Ask Me Anything, where you and I sat in front of 170 people and they could ask any question they wanted and we would answer it in front of everyone.
Like, accountability is really important because we have a very unique business model. We're selling an idea, right? We are asking people to entrust us with working in the best ways possible to try and achieve our goals in the end. And we're supported entirely by individual people and businesses and clubs who willingly send us their money through donations, memberships, you know, people buy swag, whatever. But there's a responsibility that comes with that. And to me, it's important that we're transparent with our members, that we're accountable with them. So if there's something you want to ask us, even if it's uncomfortable, and there were a couple questions that were mildly uncomfortable for us, you know, but to me, you need to be able to answer that stuff, not just to them, but in front of an audience so everybody can hear the answer. And I think that it's important and it's always been important to you and I and to the entire organization. So I'm proud of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we should be proud of it. So I wanted to make mention of those things. All right. So we had a variety of different guests. I guess I should have said this in the beginning. We've had quite a few AGMs and I think this was the best one ever. It was the biggest one. I think in total, we had 175 people or something like that. The room looked beautiful. The facilities were great. Everyone was really happy to be among like-minded individuals. It was good. We had a fantastic program, which we're going to talk about now. But we had our friend Josh from Dirty Leather set up a booth. Just describe really quick what he was doing there.
Yeah, so Dirty Leather, Josh is a great guy. We run into him at the Toronto Sportsman Show and events, you know, all around Ontario. And he contacted me and said, hey, I've got a great idea. I'm going to make these handmade custom CCFR belts and I can customize them on the spot, put people's names or nicknames or whatever they want. I'm going to sell them and I'm going to donate a portion of the proceeds back to the CCFR. And he does this at the Toronto Sportsman Show as well. So yeah, he came all the way there, set up in the corner, made belts all day long. It was wild. People were going crazy for them. And yeah, it's just, he's just such a special guy. And he you know, he goes a really far way for the CCFR considering he's kind of a small business, right? So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Josh is awesome. We also had Dr. Terry Bryant, the Chief Firearms Officer of Alberta there. So we're really glad that that Terry could make it. And we had Evelyn Fox. Maybe explain who Evelyn Fox is real quick.
So if you're on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, she's CZV416. And that's Communities for Zero Violence. She is an anti-violence advocate. She lost her son in 2016 to a late night shooting outside a nightclub. And 10 years ago, her and I were on very opposite ends of this debate. We got into some heated discussions. And over the years, I think she's come to realize that if she really wants to ensure that no other mother has to suffer the way she did, that attacking legal gun owners isn't the way you're going to get there. And she's kind of, you know, had this awakening. And so much so that a couple of years ago, I took her to the range and she shot a gun for the first time, which is something I never imagined her doing. And through her grief, she's, you know, been like a steadfast advocate for credible public safety measures. And she came to the AGM and it was really meaningful to me. And it was great to see her and great to have her there. And I loved that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. As far as guests that had an opportunity to speak, we had Bob Freeberg, the former CFO of Saskatchewan, former commissioner of the Saskatchewan Firearms Office. And then we had the current commissioner of the Saskatchewan Firearms Office, Blaine Bevan, there as well. And I had a chance to sit down and talk to them about in detail about what Saskatchewan was doing. And the reason why I thought that was a great opportunity is to understand what they're doing. They had to layer a bunch of different legislation, one on the other, to make sure that it was valid, that it had effect. And it makes it kind of complicated. So we had the opportunity to kind of go through all that stuff. And man, those two guys are doing the most of anyone in a government apparatus for gun owners right now. It was really cool to chat with them. Then
it was really neat to hear how tricky that was. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. That's the downside, right? Because it is difficult to explain these legislative workarounds for things. And, you know, people get impatient. They're just like, oh, you know, we just want it all to go away. And it's like, well, you don't get that unless we get the liberals out. And we're a little ways from that. So anyway, that I really enjoyed that. These guys are awesome. And then you sat down with Randall Arsenault, who is a social media cop, and had a great chat with him.
Yeah, I call him the TikTok cop because that's where I found him originally. And during the pandemic, he would do all these great videos from his patrol car. I think he's retired now, but he was a member of TPS. He still works with a lot of law enforcement agencies. Excuse me, but he's a great public safety advocate, just a great expert on the topic. He's also former human rights commissioner. Like, he's had some really big jobs, and he's the one who said it's sort of a testament to our organization that we've got, you know, the mother of a shooting victim at the AGM for the gun lobby. And it's like, well, that's probably because we're the public safety lobby, but excuse me. Yeah, it was fantastic to see him, and he's just super engaging and interesting. And yeah, I think everyone really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And we also had Ryan from Northern Perspective out and do the do grace for dinner. And as well, he was prepared for a speech and talked about the reasons to be optimistic and what he was doing there. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was a neat perspective because he's not, well, not just a northern perspective, but he's not a gun owner, right? So he doesn't have any skin in the game, but he understands the topic enough to know that all Canadians should be concerned with this. And yeah, it was very touching. It was good. Unfortunately, we missed Tanya because she was sick, but yeah, I was happy that Ryan was there.
Yeah, and then our keynote speaker was Sheila Gunn-Reid, a friend of yours. Yeah, are you a little scratchy today?
Like, I'm still scratchy from the AGM. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I'll get over that.
Well, I'm struggling too. My voice is a little blown up. But you know what? Together,
everyone's just going to have to bear with us.
We're going to get through it.
Yes.
So anyway, Sheila Gunn-Reid, she did the keynote speech, and it was really great to have her as well.
It was cool. And you know what? Like, I invited Sheila, and she was coming. And then I got a contact from the Rebel office in Toronto, and they bought a whole table. So we had the whole gang there. Ezra was there, the whole tribe of Rebels. So that was a lot of fun just to have everybody there. And yeah, it was interesting. I really liked it. And of course, I could listen to Sheila talk all day, and her and I talk quite often. So yeah, it was wonderful.
And I think we wound it up with the first public showing of the Gunny Girls documentary. And I struggled with it because there was, I think it ended up opening in Windows Media Player, and that application is garbage. It's total right. garbage. And it might've been a 4K file. So the computer had a hard time. Actually, it wasn't the computer. It was running it through these projectors that we had, and it kept stalling. So I had to keep moving the mouse around, which brought up all the controls, but anyway, we got through it. We showed everyone the documentary, and I think everybody liked it, right?
Yeah, I think it sort of tells the story of the women's program, our humble beginnings, the controversy that shouldn't even exist, but it does, and just really good to hear from the women who participate in it. And I love these girls. They call me their fairy gun mother, but honestly, like, they just mean everything to me. And they're powerful, and they're awesome, and they're fun, and they're great advocates for our sports. So, yeah, I loved it. I'm really happy you did that. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I finally got it done, and with a lot of help from our friend Grant Woods. But anyway, that's going to go on television in the first week of June, and it's going to run, I think, almost for a month. But nonetheless, we're going to move on to a bunch of events. Because
one last thing about the AGM, I'm going to interrupt you. We also celebrated the FO of the year, which is our good friend Mark LaFond, and
you're
I know
right.
he'll be listening. Yes, I know he's going to be listening to this, and I'm so happy he was dressed up. He wore his best cowboy hat and his best pair of jeans. He just looked awesome, and yeah, he got a belt from Dirty Leather, and of course a beautiful CCFR award kind of trophy thing. So yeah, he was really. Kind of, I don't know. There's a picture and I'm in the foreground and I'm making this ugly face and everyone's like, what are you doing? And it's like, well, I was trying not to cry. That's the honest truth. So yeah, I just love Mark LaFond. He's just great.
Yeah. And he was the perfect recipient for it because he does so much for the CCFR. It's ridiculous. Like, it's a huge part of his life. And that's why when we talk about the volunteers, I end up going on and everybody's probably sick of hearing it. Right. But it's just like, you got to think about your own life. For me, you know, I think about like, okay, where would I scrape up every weekend to go, well, almost every weekend to go volunteer for an organization? How deeply would I believe in that organization to dedicate so much of my life to it? And so that's extremely humbling for me, right? I'm sure you feel exactly the same way. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic.
So lucky to have our volunteers. So that was great. Okay. So we get home. And then, boom, it's events. Podcast, TV show, and events. So you are going to, I believe it's next weekend, to the Outdoor Caucus Symposium and a couple of other things, right?
Yeah, that's right. I've actually got a whole weekend of activities. I got the girls coming in Friday. I'm bringing Anna McIntosh and Kelly from the women's program. And Sunday, we are going to be up on Parliament Hill from 9 o'clock in the morning all day long at the Conservative Hunting and Angling Caucus Symposium. And this is like a huge outdoor industry type gathering. We're doing a variety of presentations, everything from I'm going to talk about guns. They've got the people there from the fisheries. The BC Salmon Guys will be there. Snowmobile associations, hunting, fishing, trapping, everything. That goes on all day Sunday. On Monday, we got to be back up there at 9 a.m. We're doing a bear pit with a whole bunch of MPs. And this is sort of like an informal but fast-paced debate discussion with a whole bunch of MPs. So we're going to be up there for that. Then we're going to attend question period as like a team. And then in the evening, we get to have a little bit of fun. We're going to head over to Stornoway Mansion, which is actually just a house. It's not a mansion. But that's the residence of the official opposition, so Polyev's house. And there's a big dinner that goes on there. It's all wildlife cooked by celebrity chefs. There's some music, a little bit of, beverages under a big tent. And it's just a great time and a celebration of the outdoor community. So, yeah, it's an annual event. I love going, and we will be there this year.
I was at the last one. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, and you'll learn. Pretty cool.
Like there was, I think one of the most interesting parts of the last one was we learned a lot about invasive species, and there's a lot of them, and the threat is enormous, and there's a ton of work being done to try to battle these things back. And then we also learned about chronic wasting disease, and you know the path of that, and like you learn a lot about, and of course, 30 by 30 and 50 by 50, which is insane. But anyway, we don't need to get into that right at this moment. But yeah, you learn a lot of stuff at the symposium.
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting to me just as a hunter and a Canadian, I just kind of want to know these other things. And I'm so immersed in the firearms file that I don't have the opportunity, the time or the bandwidth to do that research. So it's really cool to hear from all these different organizations who we all have the same, you know, same kind of goals, but we have different ways of getting there. And it's, I love it. It is a great time. And of course there's live music at night. So that's my favorite part.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. National Range Day is coming up, and this year we have 38 events at 38 different ranges. If you go to nationalrangeday.ca and you go to the event locator, they're all updated. Everything's clean in there. So you've got only relevant events. And there's a tool there to find any event that is within a certain radius from where you are. And, it's not bad. I think the first year that we did it, there was 100, but still 38 is pretty good. And we didn't really push it as hard as we could have, but, there's a lot of clubs out there. They are participating every single year. They don't even have to be prompted by us.
Yeah, that's really important. I know my, home club here, for anyone that's in the Ottawa region at EOSC, you can find it on the event locator as well. That's sort of our flagship event. And we have a barbecue. We have a whole bouncy castle park, like four huge, massive bouncy castle things. You know, it's Ottawa. You need that. We have a free kids silhouette range. So then come and shoot 22. It's completely free. People can try shotguns, rifles, pistols. The cowboy action guys are there. They're my absolute favorite. They're in full costume and it's just a lot of fun. We run it it's short and sweet. It's 4 hours, but it's a ton of fun packed into it. An enormous effort by the volunteers. But yeah, I think it's totally worth doing. And we get the majority of the people that are coming are not gun owners. These are normies from the community. I advertise it in all the local Ottawa Facebook groups and the mommy groups. And by trying to target people who don't know anything about guns, that's the point of it. So, yeah, it's really interesting. I'm excited to do it. It's a ton of work, but I just have the best home range that supports me in it.
Yep, that's what it's all about. All right, now there's also I don't think they're calling it a rally. They're calling it a town hall. But there's something going on in Sudbury, Ontario.
Yeah, I know you want to say Sudbury Saturday night, but it's actually a Friday night. June 12th, we're going to Sudbury. We're having a town hall with a member of parliament, Jim Belanger, just a great guy there from Northern Ontario. And Cheryl Gallant is going to come. She's always been a fierce defender of firearms owners. And we're going to do a town hall. We're going to take questions. Fun little secret. I'm going to be drawing a name for a shotgun. So it costs nothing to enter. You just got to show up at the town hall. and I'll send you a shotgun. So it should be a lot of fun. This is sort of a rescheduling of one that we had canceled just when the Tumbler Ridge tragedy happened. There's lots of stuff going on for the MPs to do, so we had to cancel it. But it's back on June 12th. You can find it on my social media and follow Jim Belanger. You'll find it there too.
Okay, well, that sounds awesome. And then the last thing that we just had to chat about, we're not going to be talking for too long today because, well, it's been a little busy.
Yeah.
Is we've been talking about this retail buyback, the assault style firearm compensation program / confiscation program. The aspect of it that is for retailers, there was a story kind of floating around that these retailers were getting emails, and the email says, hey, we're from the buyback, center or whatever. We want to do a test payment with you for whatever, $2. So send your banking information to us and whatever. And then somebody had, as the story goes, somebody had called the program and they said, oh, it's a scam. And someone called again, said, no, it's not. And then you've got a little bit of information and I've got a little bit of information for it.
Yeah, this was a crazy thing. We've talked about this a couple of times and the story doesn't really get better. But yes, I had a retailer who had contacted me and they had got this test payment email saying, we're going to send you $2 or $2.01 or something crazy like that. And he was like, well, that sounds sketchy. So he called the program, which is the perfect thing you should do, right? If you're not entirely sure if it's valid, he called the program. Don't forget that program is run just by a call center. Like they've just, parsed that out to people who have no idea what they're talking about. So he calls the call center and they're like, no, that sounds like a scam. Don't do it or whatever. So he calls me. I put it out on social media, everything else. Well, it turns out, I think that it's actually legitimate. And this is a test payment for them to get paid for their firearms that they're submitting as part of the retailer portion of the buyback. So I know the retailer organization has put out an email and some posts and it seems like nobody really knows what they're talking about, but the original information saying that this was a scam came from the people at the call center for the program. So I don't know, clear as mud.
Yeah, it's a train wreck.
It is
amazing how incompetent this government really is. And I know it sounds like a nothing burger saying that. That used to be a terrible thing to say. And now it's just like, yeah, it's like saying water's wet, right? But
yeah,
I basically ended up with a call from another a manufacturer. And they said, hey, you know what? I just had this crazy experience. The call center called me, meaning they called them. And this manufacturer asked, I'm like, hey, what about this email? Is this a scam or not? And what happened was the call center were asking this guy a series of questions about the email. Like, can you spell the exact address that it came from? What did the email say? Can you forward it to us? When did it show up? All this stuff. And then he's like, trying to ask, like, is this a scam or did you guys send it? And they were evasive. And then he's like, what is this? Calls me, tells me all this stuff. This was just a couple of days ago. And then he said, I'm going to call them again with the owner of our company. And I'm going to try again, maybe get somebody different. Anyway, they call back or whatever. And now that person said, oh no, everything's fine. It's legit. The email is legitimate. And so I don't know.
It just depends who you call at the program, I suppose.
Well,
but I don't know.
The whole thing is insane.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then on top of that, there was a part of the agreement, the compensation agreement. And apparently the government has decided they're only, because they're paying for some firearm parts, they're only going to pay for 200 parts per retailer.
Yeah.
So yeah. If you got a spring, or even let's say a buffer tube spring or a spring for a trigger group or whatever, for an AR-15 or something, it's banned, and they're going to buy 200 small parts. Some retailers have 1,000 parts. I guess they are just going to take the loss now. The whole thing so bad.
It's so bad. Some stores had thousands of one SKU, let alone all the other SKUs, right? And it's 200 parts. It's a joke. So, yeah, I don't know. Terrible time for the retailers for sure on that.
Yeah, they're getting screwed on the SKUs. Right?
That's exactly right. I need cold water.
Hang in there, Wilson.
I'm hanging in there.
All right. Well, we didn't have that much to cover, although that was a bit. How long did we talk? We were talking 30 minutes anyway. So,
well, we still ate up a half hour.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's all we had to cover. I guess I will let you go for now. You go have a rest. I got to finish the show and get it all uploaded and rendered and uploaded and get this done myself. So thanks for the update. And I guess we'll see you in the next one.
All right. We'll see you then.
Okay, Wilson. All right. See you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. That's going to do it for episode 212 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks everyone for watching and listening. Really, really appreciate it. Make sure you share the podcast, get everybody involved. I just want to say it was great to meet everybody that came to the AGM. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was the best AGM we ever had, actually. So if you missed it, you missed a really great time. Hopefully we'll see you at the next one. That's it. I really don't have anything else for you other than to say thanks everyone so much for your support. Take care. And we will see you in the next one.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.